B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Feel super, baby!
Right,
the
baby!
Five-time Super Bowl champions are going back to Miami.
Let's get
where they have won two Super Bowls, and they're looking for number six.
Let's start filling up that other hand. Boy, what a job well done, coaches, players, the execution, and how this team finished the last two games with that dominance at the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball and really needing nothing from the passing game. There's so much to be said for that. Kyle Shanahan and just sticking with it. How about Mostert and the game he put together?
I was just saying, Maz, where's the helmet? Where's the jersey? Thought we'd get it.
I don't wear it on holidays.
We got Murray all mad right out of the chute.
I'm not mad. I'm completely fine with it.
You want to just burn it off, Murray? Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, congratulations to the Niners. Their defense is legit. Their running game is legit. The scheme that Kyle Shanahan is running there is the balls. They deserve to be there. That's the most well-rounded team in the NFL. And the quarterback just happens to be a part of it, too. If you look at a stat line yesterday, that's really all you need to know. Anyone could have done that. Rohan Davey. Brian Hoyer, you're very high on, Mike. Any quarterback could have had, what was it, 77 yards? How many times did he throw? Eight? So cool. And you can make your case for it. Oh, well, you know, if you're running and you're getting 7-8 yards a carry, what are you supposed to do? That's fine, because I know how the game against the Vikings went, too. So deep down, I know what that stat line means, and you do, too. So you can argue against it, but deep down you know that he's the weak link. The coach is terrified of his own quarterback, and I don't blame him. So maybe in the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs, we'll get the referendum on Jimmy Garoppolo, and maybe they'll be down, hopefully, 7 late, and then we'll see. Then we'll really see what he's made of. So congrats to the Niners, and if you want to crow about Garoppolo, go ahead. But I know what that stat line is, and I know what it means.
So can I chime in here now? Can I do that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the narrative about yesterday's game that is really going completely up my tailpipe. 100% up my tailpipe. That the coach is terrified of him. Mm. How would you know? How would you know? They never had to throw. Like, this is my point. Like, so listen, you want to tell me Jimmy Garoppolo's the weak link? You don't believe in him? Fine. You want to tell me they didn't need him yesterday? Fine. How do we know that the coach is terrified of him when we don't really have a single play to judge it?
Well, because in the week prior, when they blew out a Vikings team that was overmatched, and that was evident from the get-go, when Garoppolo threw that horrific interception that went right to Kendrick, the Vikings linebacker, in his own own red area, the Niners subsequently ended up running the ball 12 straight times in their following drives. So that, to me, proves that the coach deep down knows that as well-rounded as that team is, the weak link happens to be the handsome quarterback.
Okay, so again, I would say that you want to say he's the weakest link, fine. I just don't think yesterday's the day to say it. That's all. I look at that game and I say, they never had to throw. They never had to.
I think they were in second and two the entire day.
I mean, the what's his name? And I can never pronounce the name right. Is it Mostert?
Mostert. Yeah,
Mostert.
Mostert.
Okay, because I keep wanting to call him Mostert. So Mostert. He was averaging 10 yards a rush. Like, it, literally, every time they handed it to him, he got a first down.
That's fair. You know, and the jury's still out, I guess, because when you have the Packers, who are a group of gutless pukes, who didn't even show up to that game, what a complete waste of everyone's time that was. Sorry, Mike, but Jesus, holy crap. Who's to say? So, yeah, the jury's still out, and so no, who knows? Maybe I'll be proven wrong on Garoppolo in a couple of weeks. But I just, all I ask for in that game is for them to it to be tight, it to be a bit of a shootout, and for the ball to have to be in Garoppolo's hands. They're down 6 late, and it has to come down to Jimmy G. That's all I want.
You're going to have to think that it's going to be. I mean, they can't have 8 pass attempts against Kansas City and get away with it.
I can't imagine that that will be the case. The one thing that concerns me about that game is that I'm still not sure about Kansas City's run defense. They've improved during the course of the year. Chris Jones makes a huge difference when he's in there, as we all know. But the fact is, I think if you get a team that can run the ball the way that San Francisco can, and again, it's not just the running backs, it's the scheme, the reverses to Samuel, all that stuff, they're really hard team to defend on the ground. I mean, and they, you know, they block exceptionally well. They're physical on top of it. If they can, if you're playing Kansas City, to me, the first thing you do is try to slow the game down.
All right, folks. So we are going to talk about the championship weekend. We're going to get to the latest on Tom Brady, and that's pretty much going to be the show. So we'll start with the games from the weekend. 617-779-0985. Who was the biggest winner? Who was the biggest loser? What stood out to you the most positively? What stood out to you the most negatively? Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, get ready for it. I think it's, you know, it's good. I think it's, well, I mean, my thoughts on Garoppolo yesterday are self-evident. They never had to throw. Is he the weakest link? I mean, their running game is better than their passing game, and their defense is better than their offense. So, I mean, like, I guess based on that, he would be. But if you've watched him this year, pretty much when they've needed him, he's been there, pretty much, for the most part. The games he's had to throw, he's thrown. When they've needed big third downs, he's one of the best third down passers in the game. His fourth quarter stats are terrific. He's had good fourth quarters throughout the course of the year. So he's sort of, when they've needed him, he's been there. And when they haven't needed him or they've been afraid of him, then he's receded to the back round. So I would expect him to come through in the Super Bowl if they need him. But we'll see. But your thoughts on Garoppolo and him being in the Super Bowl, right? It does. It just brings up the whole thing. Was he a worthy successor to Tom Brady? Did Bill Belichick have it right, et cetera, et cetera? This guy, now in his first full season as a starter, is in the Super Bowl. Best record in the league, Super Bowl. What's his record as a starter overall, man?
23-5, counting postseason.
Okay, so it's really just about more than that game. But we'll find out. We'll find out. The Super Bowl is the final exam, as we like to say, so that's on the table, et cetera, et cetera. Who's the big winner from the weekend?
So, I mean, if we're talking individual players or people, Andy Reid. Andy Reid's the big winner from the weekend. I mean, he gets back to the Super Bowl, and, you know, I mean, now there are even bigger stakes for him in the single game, but I go with Andy Reid.
So, I don't think he's the biggest. I think he had the most to lose, but I think coming out of the weekend, Pat Mahomes is the big winner. It's his league. It's his league. It's his world. It's his turn.
He's been ridiculous these last couple of weeks.
But, I mean, don't you think that the buzz is around Patrick Mahomes? Like, he's the guy. He's the figurehead of the league now. It's his league. It's his. I don't know. I just think he's
for the last
taken
year,
over.
Yeah, for the last year or so, and since he won the MVP last year, he's had the cover of Madden. The league has tried to push him as the face of the league, and now that he's finally made the Super Bowl, well, now he's backed it up. Now he's just going to win the damn thing. But yeah, he was easily the biggest winner of the weekend.
So I think he's just, it's now his league. The biggest loser, I think, is Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, and that's, you know, parse that however you want. I think Rodgers was at least half responsible for that game. I thought, boy, the way he came out, again, if you've watched him a lot, it's not unusual. Ignoring open guys short, going to the wrong place short, easy money throws that he doesn't see. And that just gets him off to the bad start. And then the game really ended at the end of the second quarter when on successive drives, he fumbles away exchange with the center and then throws an interception. And those were the last two Green Bay drives of the second quarter, and that really ended the game. So his role in it, it's easy to say the defense couldn't stop a nosebleed, and they couldn't, but I thought he was as culpable as anyone in that game. Bad, bad weekend for him and a team that did not show up.
I mean, the turnovers to me were the big hits. Like, and I'm not telling you he didn't miss guys, because he did. But you turn the ball over against a team like that, you are going to get croaked. And, you know, I really put more emphasis on the fumbles than anything else. You know, we were talking at the end of last week, and I think I said to you, the guy never turns the ball over. He never gets picked. And you said, well, the strip sack is there. And then there was a fumbled snap in there, too. Those two fumbles, huge.
Brutal.
And you know what? The snap mishandling, you take a good look at that play. Take a good look at it.
Oh, believe me.
Watch him. Watch him.
He doesn't exactly get dirty on that thing, does he?
He just stood there. Like, I felt like I was watching Cam Newton in the Super Bowl against Denver. And it's just, if you're a quarterback and you start to go back and you lose the snap, what's your instinct?
Yeah, dive. Gotta get
go get the ball. Yeah. Go get it.
In a game of that magnitude with the trip to the Super Bowl on the line, like, that was bad. And to what you were just saying, Mike, I thought it was evident. I think it might have been their very first drive. Third and short, he throws to the running back who's covered and loses a couple of yards when Jimmy Graham is wide open, and Troy Aikman immediately is on him saying he had Jimmy Graham wide open. And that's where I felt like, oh, we're going to get bad Aaron Rodgers today.
Yep.
After as good as he looked last week, this isn't going to be the game that I was hoping for. And I ended up being right. Like, he was not good in that game at all.
No, it was mostly decision-making. So I think he's done. I think that team's done. I think his window's closed. I don't think they're going to get back to that spot. I just don't.
He's what, 35?
He's 36. So, I mean, I think he's got a couple years left of some decent football, but the team he complained again in the post game about, we got to get one of these games at home. They've all four of his conference title games have been on the road. And he says we got to get one of these games at home. Well, then, dude, don't kick away easy games in the regular. Show up against Philadelphia, and when you have an easy win at home in your back pocket and you blow it. Like it's not a coincidence that the Patriots are able to clean up on so many teams at home because they take care of business during the year. Don't you get it? You can't take a month off in the middle of the season. You can't go just mailing in half of these games.
That Chargers game where they go out there and he's calling out guys for basically being hungover.
So you want to host? It's not like a lottery. It's like, oh, whoops, that's some bad luck. We didn't get this game again. No, you earned that during the season, you a-hole. And so, like, that's what's sort of frustrating. So, you know, Rodgers has been in the league, what is he, quarterback for 12 years now. They've never been, the one time they were with that team once, and they lost in the divisional round. But for, I think, 11 of the 12 years, they haven't been that team. So all of a sudden, they're going to be that team? They're not. So you're going to be on the road, and you're going to be in that kind of spot. And so that's the bet that you make. So the Packers were clearly the big loser because Tennessee, I still think, acquitted themselves well.
No question.
I think they did everything they could. Vrabel took them as far as they could possibly go.
They were up 17-7.
Up until the last half of the last game, you know, trick plays, bold calls, defensive schemes that are, you know, giving the opponents pause. The whole thing. Vrabel took him to the second half of the AFC Championship game, and that's a 9-7 middler. So if I'm Tennessee, I'm not sitting there with any regrets or any sort of, like, you know, leaving one on the table or anything. You finally got overwhelmed by a much better team, but you, that team did the most it possibly could. That was a good run by them.
Tell you what, if they had a quarterback, they'd be dangerous.
Well, maybe that leads to our second topic today.
They'd be dangerous with a quarterback.
That'd be a good team for Tom Brady.
Sure. Absolutely. Again, they got good personnel on D. And so, and on offense, I think their skill players, other than the quarterback, are actually pretty decent. I'm not saying like best in the league, but they got a couple of good receivers. They obviously have a good back. I think they have a functional tight end.
Better than anything you got here.
I mean,
right now,
if they had a quarterback, they'd be freaking dangerous. Dangerous. So, like, you know, if I'm Tennessee, I take a good hard look at that, and it's a hard off season for them because they're going to make a decision on Tannehill. If there's something better out there, you can win the Super Bowl next year. You could win it.
Okay, so there is some developments on the Brady front, some fresh reporting and some fresh commentary. We want to get to that. He went to the fights over the weekend, talking to a certain owner out there. I want to get to that. That's good. We've got the AFC Championship game, the NFC Championship game, the big winners, the big losers, who stood out to you, both good and bad. The Garoppolo thing coming home to roost this week, folks. That should be a good one in Brady's future. Your phone's on all of it on Reentry Monday. Yep, we're fully loaded here on the holiday. Reentry Monday is presented by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank. To your calls right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Chiefs 35, Titans 24. Austin Ryder snaps to Mahomes and a knee. He goes to a knee and a backflip by DeMarcus Robinson. That is going to do it. 50 years of waiting. 50 years. And the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs' kingdom. Hoping, their dreams have come true. Hail to the king of the Chiefs kingdom forever. Because today, the team that Lamar Hunt founded has just won Lamar Hunt's trophy in the stadium that was Lamar Hunt's dream. Kansas City is the AFC champion. They are headed to Miami for Super Bowl.
All right, as promised, right to your reaction here from Championship Weekend. and some of the Brady stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Pete in Delaware, lead us off today. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. Hey, my takeaway from the Chiefs game is Andy Reid finally has a quarterback that can overcome Andy Reid's deficiencies in these big games. Two games in a row, they fall behind, and it just seems like they take on the personality of their coach in these big games, but Mahomes is good enough. And, guys, even with a big lead, Andy Reid screws up the time situation. 2 minutes away, I think 30 seconds left, he has Mahomes throwing the ball, third and long when Vrabel only has one timeout and a two-minute warning. Why are you not just running the ball, making them use a timeout, and punt it?
Pete, I'm sorry to cut you off. There was a bunch of little stuff like that I wrote down in that game, and I think he's exactly right. Mahomes is so good, and their offensive firepower is so prolific that side of the ball just plows through all of Andy Reid's mismanagement.
I mean, I felt the same way. I didn't think the Chiefs had a particularly well-coached day yesterday.
Second straight week, they're not ready to go. Not ready to go. Okay? Did you like the back-to-back offsides?
How many do they have in the game?
Well, three that I wrote down, and then I stopped paying attention. But it was three. They jumped offsides on third and five, jumped on offsides to make it first and five. They jumped offsides later in the game. There was one where Tennessee came up short on third down. It was third and one, and they also had a holding penalty. So instead of making it fourth and one, Andy Reid made it third and 11. And they still made the stop and they got off the field. But remember that one?
Yeah.
Where they were short and it was on their side of the field. I don't think it was a go for it kind of situation. Instead of having a fourth and short, Andy Reid put him in third and 11 and they stopped him. But that was the wrong call. There was all sorts of... I still feel the Chiefs are chiefy. And it's just, can someone make them pay?
Correct. I mean, there's no question. I sort of made the same note during the game mentally yesterday that, you know what, this is still, they're not exactly tight.
And in the past, with the way that these last two games have started for them, they lose, given their history in the playoffs. But Mahomes makes them, like, chief-proof. Like, they're not falling to horrid history.
That offense is a wagon.
You're also not there to make them pay. Like, if anyone makes you pay for stupidity and not being ready and things like that, it's the Patriots. And I don't know if there's another team that does that to opponents like you do. So I think they caught a huge break that you're out. Derek in Foxborough. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, so good. I'd hate to do this to you, but your boy there's overrated. I mean, 1-3 now in NFC title games. The one win came against a third-string quarterback when Jay Cutler tapped out of that game. And I looked this up. You realize he has the same, almost the identical playoff record as Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's 10-5 with one Super Bowl. Rodgers is 10-8 with one Super Bowl. So I just think he's overrated.
I would agree, certainly. I mean, anyone who puts him in Brady's category is grotesquely overrating the guy. What he is he's pick your poison between him and Breeze and Roethlisberger and Rivers and Eli and Favre and, I don't know, Steve Young. Like, I don't know, just like really good quarterbacks. He'll be a Hall of Famer, but not in that elite pantheon. And so he's just in that next tier, and you can debate whether he's better or worse than those guys I just mentioned, but that's what he is. That's what he is. And one Super Bowl?
Not enough.
Not enough. Well, unless he's just not as good as we think he is.
No, the ability's there. I'm sorry. I refuse to give him that as an out.
I'm not giving him out.
No.
I'm agree with Derek that maybe he's just not that good.
Oh, no, he's good. He's good. I mean, he should be a multiple Super Bowl winner. And it's not necessarily per se because he chokes, but maybe it's because he's too much about him, or I don't know what it is. But I would have said the same thing about Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning shouldn't have won one Super Bowl. He should have won more, and he won two.
The whole Packers mindset yesterday. So if I asked you Packers-Niners, what's the only real advantage going into the game you would say the Packers had?
The quarterback.
The quarterback. That's it. San Fran has him everywhere else. The quarterback. So if you're Green Bay, especially when you see how it's going, don't you have to sell out to stop the run and force Garoppolo to throw?
Yes.
And if you go one-on-one across the board in the secondary and Garoppolo puts up numbers and scores, then fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now Aaron Rodgers is in the shotgun and you make it about the quarterbacks. It should have been the game plan to start, but certainly by the time you realize that they were running on you. 10 men in the box, goal line, whatever it takes to absolutely positively force the ball into Garoppolo's hands, And if that leaves you susceptible to the pass, so be it. They'll put up points. You'll get the ball back quickly, put it in Aaron Rodgers' hand, and try and win 45-42. It's the only way you're going to win that ball game. Instead, it's like they play straight up the entire game on both sides of the ball.
I was appalled. I was appalled. I couldn't figure it out. I said anybody in the league can commit to stop the run if they put enough guys up there. Green Bay never did it. I don't get it.
A joke.
If you're just going to let them hand off and get 7 yards every time they run, why show up? No, I'm not kidding.
Oh, it's gross.
I don't know that I've ever... I think I said in the email chain this morning, the defensive coordinator deserved to be fired.
Gross. No, it's the head coach. This is why you have a head coach. He can make a... He can say, you know... Patton, what's his first name? Whatever.
Mike Patton.
Load the box. Mike, we're going to stop the... Mike, we're going to force him out of the running game this series.
Okay? Wow, that was pathetic.
So whatever it takes, Mike, we're going to force him out of the run here. The coach can do that. You don't have to call the play, but you're on the freaking headset. Mike, we're going to take him out of the run this series. See how that goes. Never did it once. Dave in Plymouth. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. So two takes. One... regarding the Tennessee-Kansas City game, totally agree. I mean, what Kansas City did, what Spagnuolo did, was absolutely perfect. Put the ball in Ryan Tannehill's hands. Force him to beat you. There was no way that was going to happen. Tannehill could have thrown for 400 yards. They were going to lose that game. If the ball was in Tannehill's hands, they were going to lose that game. And as far as Garoppolo is concerned, not only was it 8 passes, but did you look at the kind of passes he was throwing? Those side shots to the running back, you know, the swing passes. I don't think he threw a ball more than maybe 15 yards downfield.
I mean, why should he?
Well, he didn't have to. He didn't have to. But what I'm saying is that's what's going to be needed against Kansas City, because Kansas City's going to load the ball. They're going to stop Mozart. They're just going to say, go ahead, try and run against us.
Okay, probably so, Dave. It's true. I can't fathom that KC is going to allow the Niners to do what Green Bay did. So Garoppolo is going to have to play in that game, and we'll see. What did he do? He had one point that I wanted to mention before. Oh, I give Kansas City credit for their win, because I think they dug their way out of that one. I think they scrapped that one.
2 weeks in a row, really?
Well, the one against Houston, Maz, was kind of handed to them. I mean, Houston just completely fell apart.
Sure,
right?
True.
Started, you know, fake punts, dropping punts, turnovers. Like, Houston melted down. They melted the F down. Tennessee didn't. KC had to grind out drives on offense. They had to make stops on defense. I think the key sequence there, again, end of the second quarter.
Huge.
Tennessee has the ball and the lead with like 3 minutes left in the second quarter. Just, you know, they would have to get a first down or two, and they could bleed the clock out to half, maybe get a field goal attempt themselves, and that's where they were. I think KC stopped Henry on 2 straight runs up the middle and then got the Titans off the field, and then KC scored on their drive that was the long Mahomes touchdown run. I think KC won this one sort of straight up, meaning they matched Tennessee and they grounded out. That was a grind out win for Kansas City. The one against Houston was
no fair point. No
Houston
turnovers.
Puked on themselves.
Yeah, no turnovers, no stupid decisions, none of that. So it's a fair point. I hadn't thought of it in those terms. I just think down 24-0. That's one that'll put a lot of teams in the ground. And so it didn't, but fair point. I mean, totally a fair point. So I look,
pick up all 5 games.
I mean, that Kansas City offense, man, is something. That is like pick your poison. And once they get rolling,
forget about it.
You're screwed. Screwed.
I mean, Tennessee goes on these drives. You know, it's like run, 3rd and 2. They pick it up. Trick play. Grind the clock. Henry leaning into the line. 7-8 minutes later, throwing to the tackle. Like, great drive. Boy, like, just pulled out everything they could. Bled it as much as they could. Kansas City gets the ball, 4 plays, but Mahomes running around, touchdown, tight, you know, matches it. It's like, oh, it's silly. It's silly. And you know, maybe that's instructive for San Francisco. I mean, that's how Tennessee tried to win the game. Running the ball, clock, possession, and it still is not enough. So we continue with your thoughts. Here's an update from Big Jim Murray, and then we're back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Where's the trophy? Man. Listen, first of all, I'm so happy for the Hunt family and bringing that trophy back here. Wow. How great is that? That's right. Thank you, Randy. Fired up. Fired up to go to Miami. Need to get on a diet so I can fit in my clothes so we can go do our thing.
Andy Reid is an easy guy to root for.
Oh, for sure.
Likeable guy, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And his offense is just a sight to behold, man. It's beautiful. But they're still chiefy. They still do chiefy things. And there were chiefy things in that game. And the caller who said it's just, you know, the offense is so good that they just overcome it is so true. It's so true. Mahomes is so good and they're so prolific that they can minimize all those little stupid things that they do, but they still do those little stupid things.
Oh, yeah. And they have for two straight weeks, but it just comes down to that. Mahomes is so good that it almost doesn't matter. I mean, it seems like, and it's happened in these last two games, in a matter of like 30 seconds, they're at the opponent's 40. It's so silly. Fast.
It's silly. Okay, so we continue with your reaction to the weekend. We've got Dylan in Boston. You're up next with Felger and Maz here on a Reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Go ahead, Dylan.
So I'm going to use the Titans game, the running game in the Titans, to prove why the 49ers game running game works and Jimmy Garoppolo is good. I think it was like 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1 in the fourth quarter. Went to their goal line defense on the 40-yard line.
And that's a shame.
Dylan calls back. You're breaking up. No, I mean, there's nothing to glean about Garoppolo's performance yesterday. I mean, that's just I think it's silly that he's getting like, see, he sucks. He only threw 8 games. Like it's his fault that he only threw 8 times.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying the jury's still out.
Well, no, but I'm not necessarily saying you, although I think you are doing it too, but it's sort of like he's being blamed for the fact that they only had to throw 8 times. There was no reason to throw in that ballgame. When did the Packers, God, when did the Packers ever stop the run?
They didn't. There was one play where I thought, oh, that's interesting. They didn't throw. It was 3rd and 8 when Mostert ran for the touchdown early in the game.
Okay, certainly.
Right? So I thought you were going to come back at me earlier with that one, Murray, because that one stuck out to me.
Well, no, so that's actually fair.
Yeah, 3rd and 8. Again, they handed it off. And but the one thing I don't know is whether Garoppolo checked into the play after they lined up because they were in the shotgun. But I don't know.
Whoever called it, it was a great call.
And Mostert just ran right through the left side and scampered. I mean, that was it. So, but other than that, once they said he didn't throw a pass in the third quarter. Like they kept emphasizing, I'm thinking they didn't have to.
Why would you?
All they did was hand it off, and they literally averaged 7 yards a rush.
And the Mostert kid averaged
10 in the first half. He had 19 rushes for 195 yards.
I mean, why would you? I don't blame him for. I don't blame him for that. Blame him for the turnovers during the year and the loose balls and everything. But like, just because there was no need to throw the football isn't his fault. There's nothing to do with them. There's everything to do with Green Bay allowing them to run. So why would you? I mean, you know me on the running game, but you never heard me say if the defense is giving you 8, 9, 10 yards a run, not to run it. You keep running it.
I mean, I was stunned that Green Bay never really stopped it. At some point, you put 9 guys up there if you have to.
At some point.
Completely sell out. What are you doing?
Totally. This series, we are going to take you out of the run. We are going to take you out of the run here. And if that means that guys are open down the field in the passing game, then so be it. You're going to have to score a different way this drive. And they never did it once.
I was stunned. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that. Really? It's one, like, if you say Baltimore ran for 300 yards on a team, you'd say, well, that's a little different. That's kind of like, you know, all they do is run, and the quarterback's a tremendous running weapon. Like, okay, this was like just basically handing the ball off and steamrolling you.
We've got Ryan in Fitchburg. Go ahead, Ryan, with an interesting question here. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, 2 quick questions. One, do you think Belichick strategically traded Garoppolo to San Francisco because of his respect for the Shanahans?
Yes. Part of it, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
All right, so here's the main point I'm trying to make. Do you think he would be receptive to Kyle Shanahan calling him and trying to help him game plan for the Chiefs to make Garoppolo and the Niners look better, to make him look better if they won?
Yes, I was talking to Jimmy while you were saying that, so if I missed a word, excuse me, but I do have an answer for that. But
go ahead.
Well, hell yes. Yes. Yes, Belichick's going to be helping Shanahan this week.
It benefits him if Garoppolo goes out and has a great game and they end up winning the Super Bowl.
Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. You bet. If Vrabel, you know, who told Brad Faxon of all people, Bedard told us about on this Fakakta Faxon podcast, if Vrabel's going to be calling Bill and, oh no, I'm sorry, Bill was calling Vrabel.
Correct.
Bill was calling Vrabel to bug him about Sean McVay stuff because Matt LaFleur used to blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Yeah.
So anyway, coaches do this, right? They do this. If I'm Shanahan, I am absolutely calling Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick, given his infatuation with Jimmy Garoppolo and that whole thing and how good it makes him look, I think absolutely Shanahan gets help from Bill Belichick this one.
If you're Belichick, what would you tell him?
So, I mean, this is why Bill's Bill and I'm some slappy talk show host. I mean,
I don't know when
they bring the weak side blitz on the backside, make sure you're chipping with the tight end to get him on the blah, 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 like a million different little things that I don't know.
I mean, I'm going by the Patriots. First of all, Mahomes and Reed have lit Belichick up.
Shanahan does not need to call me, but Bill's got probably like a million little things. Watch Tyreek Hill when they go strong side, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think I think what Bill would tell him is double team Hill. They had a little success doing that the last couple of times they played him. You got to get physical with Kelce and make him throw to the running backs and Watkins. And even then, you're still going to give up 30.
Okay, so, but I mean, all due respect to your acumen, which is tremendous.
No, I'm just telling you that that's what I think the Patriots have done. The Patriots haven't had a ton of success against Mahomes. They held him to 23 here the last time. Yeah. But in the games before, they gave up 62 points in the second half combined.
No, it's true. It's true. When the Casey gets going, they get going, even against you. So I don't know if Bill has the answers. Whatever he has, he's going to give to Shanahan.
Oh, for sure.
And he's going to give to Jimmy. He's going to give to Jimmy.
With the old
sausage emoji just mixed in, the old eggplant. You know Bill's going to be feeding Jimmy this week.
You think Tom will?
Oh, please.
Hell no.
Unanswered calls. No, straight to voicemail.
That one goes to Kansas City.
Yeah.
He'll be talking to Reed.
Equally as strong an answer, but in the opposite direction. Hell yes and hell no.
I actually thought of that. That, Bill's invested in this one. I happen to think, and this is a big one, but I think the argument is settled. I think Bill had the right guy. It was a good draft pick. Garoppolo can play. He would have been a worthy successor. Bill's right. He's right. Like, I think it's over. Whether Jimmy wins this game or loses this game or plays well, he's put enough out there. His body of work is enough to tell me that he was a worthy successor and Bill had it right. Not that they shouldn't have traded him. Like, Brady outlived it. So, like, that's... I'm not taking that back, but what else? You said 23-5?
23-5, yeah.
I mean,
Mahomes is 27-8. I mean, they're not that different.
I mean, they're different in that Mahomes is
one. No, I'm talking about the win and loss records. Okay. They're not that different.
But if you followed it, when they've needed Garoppolo, he's been there for the most part. He's not perfect, but when they've had to throw, he's thrown. When he's had to pick up third downs through the air, he's picked it up. He's one of the best third down passers in the game. He's one of the best fourth quarter passers in the game. When he just has to hand off, he just hands off. I don't know, 23-8 is, you're coming up on two full seasons. 23-5. So 28 is what I meant to say. You're coming up on two full seasons. I mean, I don't know. The body of work is sort of there. And this is going to be a final exam. This is a big one. It's going to show a lot. But I don't know.
Please let him be down in that game. That's all I want.
If you think
all I want.
If Garoppolo were back, do you think Belichick, if Garoppolo were available, do you think Belichick would take him back today?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Would he be wrong to do it?
No.
I mean,
but again, you're asking the wrong guy. I've liked him from the beginning. I wanted them to keep him in 2017 or whatever it was.
But this will be the capper. You'll see. You'll see when he's asked to do it, he'll do it. Like he's mostly done in his 2+ years there in San Francisco. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matt LaFleur was with Kyle three different cities, 8 years. He will run the ball. He's like Kyle Shanahan, even down 17-0. Rodgers fumbled the ball. Buckner's got it. DeForest Buckner picked it up as Aaron Rodgers just dropped the center snap from Corey Linsley. 49ers take over.
Rolling on the field is a muff snap. Recovered by the defense. First down.
Rodgers back. Pass rush holds. He's going to throw a bomb down the field for Devontae Adams in a double coverage. It is intercepted by Richard Sherman, who will go down. And the 49ers are going to win the game and win the NFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl. What a way to end it.
Portion of Aaron Rodgers' day. Also an interception at the end of the second quarter. The last two real drives for them in the second quarter. Fumbled snap for no reason. And then an interception. I think it was 17-0 when he fumbled the snap.
Yeah, that's right.
Correct, yeah.
So, I mean, you got a chance there.
And absolutely.
And I think the Packers got the ball to open the third.
They did.
So they had a chance there. For all of them, you know, not showing up, not playing the right defense, not being ready to go. You score on one of those drives at the end of the second quarter. You score to open up the third quarter. You're looking at 17-10, 17-14. You know, you take advantage there, and you actually have a ball game.
No question.
You put a little pressure on him, and he couldn't even get the freaking snap.
Yeah, both games took a dramatic turn at the end of the second quarter.
Out to lunch, man.
Yeah, brutal. And I was just double-checking it. It's a 2nd-and-4 play on top of it. 2nd-and-4. So you're going to get the first down in all probability. You'd be able to chew a little more clock. You're able to score. You get the ball back to start the third.
How much time was left on the fumble?
So I'll check it here in 1 second.
So it's just that game, I would say that it's definitely not all on him when the defense...
Just under 6 minutes, 5:45.
So defense can't stop a nosebleed, gives up 37 points, but he's at least half the problem. He's the offensive problem because the game even was still there to be made a game if he didn't implode at the end of the second quarter. And I think that's it for Aaron Rodgers. I think that's it. I don't think they're going to get back here. And if they do, it'll be the same kind of thing where they're on the road, big underdog, and they don't show. And it's going to be that kind of thing. Because, well, they've never been that team to host the conference title game in the first place, so why would they start now? 12 years into his career, why is he going to buckle down in the regular season, take care of business all the weeks that he should take care of, and then, you know, have home field throughout the playoffs? He's never been that guy. They've never been that team under him. How would they start now? Why would they start now? One little smaller nit to pick, if you hung in for the second half, I know some of you didn't, Packers never really went true hurry up. Did you notice this? They were still huddling up. They were down 14, 17 points, and they were still huddling up with, whatever, 5 minutes, 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They can't, for some reason, they can't go hurry up with Rodgers. And I used to blame that fat dump Mike McCarthy. I used to thought it was his problem, right? Remember the game here in Foxborough, right? They're down and they're still huddling up, and they have this slow sort of like they're still... Like, they're still snapping the ball with 5 seconds left on the play clock. I'm like, what? You get this fat dump out of my face with this stupid offense. They can't run a hurry up. But it's the same thing with LaFleur, which tells me it's not McCarthy. It's not LaFleur. It's Rodgers. He can't. What quarterback?
He's uncomfortable doing it.
He must be, because they were still huddling up.
So you know what? It never occurred to me, because honestly, when it got to 27-0, I said, this is over.
No, I know, so that's why I'm saying.
No. And I'm not telling you it doesn't matter. I'm just telling you, I just glossed it over. I was in a coma by the second half of that. Watched it, but I wasn't paying attention to details.
If you're looking for a backdoor cover, if you're still invested in that regard, the backdoor cover was still on the board. And they kept huddling up, and they bleed the 40-second clock till under 5 seconds. Every GD time. Every time it's under 5 seconds. And again, I always used to be screaming at McCarthy, like, get the play in, get to the line, give me some rhythm. And McCarthy's blown out of here. They bring in a new coach, and it's the same thing. So what? It ain't the coach. That's how Rodgers wants to play it. Even when you have multiple scores in the fourth quarter, they're still huddling up. I'm like, what quarterback doesn't want to go no huddle and just call it at the line and go a million miles an hour?
I was stunned by how that game went. Both in real time and then in the big picture. I told you going in, the first time they played, it was 37-8, I think it was. Rodgers threw for 104 yards, and I thought, there's no way that's happening again. No way. You play him a second time, there's no way they'll get trucked like they did the first time. And you know what? They did. Exact same thing. You know what the score at halftime was of the first game?
I don't.
27-0.
Jesus.
No, or 23, whatever it was. It was the same. Same. The game was over at halftime, both times. Over.
Oh, just brutal. Tom and Newton, go ahead. What do you got?
Yeah, hey guys, I just want to ask you about the 49ers and the Chiefs. I mean, they're on the Patriots run now for 20 years, and years where they don't make it to the Super Bowl and you see another team in there, I mean, they're almost always a flash in the pan. You know, a team makes it, and then they kind of fizzle out the next year. They can never keep it going. When I look at the Chiefs and the 49ers, I mean, I see two teams with great quarterbacks, well-coached, you know, balanced. I mean, the 49ers look great on all sides of the ball. And you talk about changing of the guard, it just sort of feels like those are going to be the two teams in, you know, both conferences for a few years to come.
He sees two great quarterbacks there. Interesting, Tom. Be careful. You get people upset by saying that.
It's funny that the NFL actually didn't feel that way, though. I found it very interesting that on the official NFL Instagram page this afternoon, they have a promo for Super Bowl 54 in Miami, and half of it is a animated drawing of Patrick Mahomes. And the other half for the Niners is... it's not Jimmy Garoppolo. It's actually the tight end, George Kittle. So the marketing department, the marketing arm of the NFL...
We're showing it on the simulcast right now.
Isn't that perfect?
Yep.
They're telling you, here's the stars of this big game, Super Bowl 54. Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Chiefs. And for the Niners, it's tight end, George Kittle. Yeah, so I'm the one who's wrong how I feel about Jimmy Garoppolo.
I told you, Tom, you get people upset by saying there's two great quarterbacks there. Somewhere Gasper's pulling off to the side of the road and shedding a little tear himself. You get people upset when you say that.
Just pointing out facts. Again, the official blue checkmark NFL Instagram page is telling you, the people, come watch Super Bowl 54 Miami, the star power at quarterback of Patrick Mahomes, and George Kittle, the tight end.
Yeah, Murray, they did it to stick it to Bill. Back to the... Remember, they used to leave Brady off of those Instagram posts all the time, for crying out loud.
Back to the point. Is either of these teams a flash in the pan?
Kansas City's not.
No, I agree. If either are, it is San Francisco, because while I like Garoppolo and I think he's a good player and will do well in this game, Mahomes is a sure thing, right? I mean,
he's a stud.
He's it.
In fact, Nance said at the end of the AFC game, instead of changing the guard in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean,
he's probably right.
Don't you feel that way? I mean, he's the guy.
He's still not going to need help. The thing that's going to be interesting is, so say they win this, and, you know, he was the MVP last year. He's eventually going to have this record-breaking contract soon, like $40 million a year.
Oh, certainly.
That's going to screw up their cap.
Yeah, and all of them. I mean, I don't know. What is Tyreek Hill paid? Is he...
I don't know. I can't speak to
that. Mecole Hardman is a rookie. I mean, they're going to have to start paying guys. So that'll catch up to him in some way, shape, or form, but you'll always have that guy. You'll always have that quarterback.
And if Reed is his coach, they'll find a way to get weapons. I mean, he'll scheme it. The bigger question I would worry about with them is the defense. But they're going to score for a long time.
Okay, let's get to Tom Brady's future. There were developments over the weekend. We'll give them all to you and our impressions of them and our thoughts, along with you and your wonderful phone calls, right after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.